clues, but it's like language. I mean, because you see, R.L.'s Dream, a lot, I was really talking about how everybody experiences the blues. Young white people, older black people, men, women, people from the north, people from the south. So I think that it's not particularly the blues, but an articulation which sometimes touches people a little deeper than some people than others. But I think that everybody knows the blues.
Walter Mosley, do you intend on continuing with writing mainstream books? Are you going to move more toward mainstream? Are you going to continue with easy? What is in store for us?
I'm not going to make a choice in that direction. I have a couple of series, mystery series, which are not E.Z. Rollins people, that I'm very interested in, and I'll at least write one or two books in each of those. And I have a variety of I have a science fiction novel that I'm very interested in, an experimental novel that I'd love to write and that I've actually started writing. So I want to go to different places with my writing, everywhere that I want to go. It's fun, and I have a little time left.
You've been listening to a 1996 archive interview with author Walter Mosley, recorded while he was on tour for his E.Z. Rollins novel, A Little Yellow Dog. My co-host was Richard A. Luboff. I'm Richard Walensky on Bookwaves.
Bookwaves is produced by Richard Walensky in the studios of KPFA Pacifica Radio in Berkeley, California.
You're tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO every second Sunday of the month, 8 to 10 p.m., for Pacific Northwest Tunes, a show dedicated to showcasing our Pacific Northwest bands and musicians. That's Pacific Northwest Tunes every second Sunday of the month, 8 to 10 p.m., here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I'm a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son, Hannibal, an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son, Noah, built New Ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would say. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
Good morning, and welcome to the January edition of Black Book Talk. We are honoring Nikki Giovanni today, and we hope you'll join us. This is Patricia Welch. I think with me today will be Emma Ford and O.B. Hill, but we also hope that members of the audience will join us in this remembrance of Nikki, this tribute to her. If there's a poem that you like, we hope that you'll call in at 503-231-8187 and just read your poem, remember seeing Nikki Giovanni, remember something you read about her or how you felt about her, and just make this a community show and not just our remembering.
Together, there's no wasted motion. A newfangled tango, an old-fashioned notion. The flow may be crowded.
Hello, folks. This is Patricia Welch. I think I'm back on the air. Over 20 years of doing this show, one thing I know is that when it's live radio, it's live radio. We've been taping a lot over the past, how many years has it been since COVID? I don't even know. We have not been coming into the studio. So this is what happens when we do it live. Hi, Ian, with us. And again, I'm giving you a number to call, 503-231-8187. That's the call-in line. So you can share whatever you like about Nikki Giovanni. This is not going to be a linear show. This is going to be a show where, you know, whatever pops into your mind, you talk about. I love ego tripping. So I wanted to start with that. But, you know, I want to kind of talk about Nikki Giovanni over the years. I remember, because I'm that old, when she came on the scene. And, you know, everybody was talking about her, and rightly so, because there was this straight-talking young woman, not exactly a college dropout, though she was periodically, but she was somebody that we could all relate to. And she was saying things that people in my generation wanted to hear. We didn't want to be polite anymore. And if black was beautiful, then we wanted to be able to say, yeah, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm beautiful, I'm enjoying us. But one of the Nikki moments that I, and I'm sure many people remember, was her conversation with James Baldwin in 1971 on a show called Soul. Now, I will tell you, you can just, you know, write it in, write Soul television show, or even more importantly, write Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin, and it will take you to a site where you can actually see that program. That was one of the most profound conversations between a black man and woman, open to the world. They touched on so many things, but I think for many of us, one of the most searing parts of the show was when they talked about relationships between man and woman, what it means to be a black man, why certain things happen, and this is not a quote, but it's a good paraphrasal. But Nikki is talking about, you know, why would a man go out in the world and be battered emotionally, if not physically, come home and do the same thing? Why was there this tension? And Baldwin was trying to explain what it means to be a man, what black men are told they should be as men, and what happens when you can't fulfill, you know, this myth of manhood, and that sometimes men leave. And Nikki is saying, but why would you leave? If there's a child, I don't care about the money. You know, we don't care about the money. If there's a baby, we can put the baby in a drawer, in a dresser drawer. I need to have you there. And in the show, I mean, they're leaning towards each other. He, I think, at that time was about 47 years old. She was 28. He was already a late legend for his books, The Fire Next Time and whatever. But at 28, she was a luminary. You know, she had her poetry collection, Black Feeling, Black Talk. But, and the conversation was later published in book form as a dialogue. If you can get your hand on a dialogue, or if you can go online and see it on, you know, on any of these streaming services, or just go to YouTube, it is so worth your time. And I was looking at some of her poems and just kind of thinking about how things and people change over the years. And one of her early poems talked about, let's see, I used to dream, okay, this is Revolutionary Dreams by Nikki Giovanni. I used to dream militant dreams of taking over America to show these white folks how it should be done. I used to dream radical dreams of blowing everyone away with my perceptive powers of correct analysis. I even used to think I'd be the one to stop the riot and negotiate the peace. Then I awoke and dug that if I dream natural dreams of being a natural woman doing what a woman does when she's natural, I would have the revolution. I'm not quite sure exactly what she meant by a natural woman, but I did notice that her tone kind of changed. Okay, so let's see something. Revolutionary Dreams is 1970s, or maybe late 60s, and then there's a poem called Woman, and that is December 2013. Okay, this poem says, she wanted to be a blade of grass amid the fields, but he wouldn't agree to be a dandelion. She wanted to be a robin singing through the leaves, but he refused to be her tree. She spun herself into a web and, looking for a place to rest, turned to him, but he stood straight, declining to be her corner. She tried to be a book, but he wouldn't read. She turned herself into a bulb, but he wouldn't let her grow. She decided to become a woman, and though he still refused to be a man, she decided it was all right. I just think the tone changed a little bit, folks. I don't know about you. I'm going to pause for a moment because I keep giving you this number to call at 503-231-8187. But I want to see, I want to check with our engineer and see if anyone is holding. Unfortunately, I'm calling, and I can't, from outside the studio, so I can't necessarily tell. Let's see, Nate, has anybody called in?
I'm here.
Emma, are you here? Okay, I had no idea. Forgive me, let me stop. Hey, Emma Jackson Ford. All right, this is sort of interesting Ford. Doing this way. I'm going to stop talking and let you, since you're off the line. Okay.
Good morning. I was thinking when you were talking about how she uses that phrase, natural woman, that she uses that a lot when she's talking. I've never quite been sure the whole scope of what she thinks a natural woman is, but she does use that phrase a lot. I was going to go back and just talk about an overview of her, too. She was a poet, a writer, an activist, an educator. She was also a daughter, a sister, a mother, and a wife. And she was one of the world's best-known poets.
Yes.
She was born June 7th, 1943. And she died last month, December 9th, 2024. She was 81 years old.
Yes.
She was loved, and yes, so were her works. She wrote many poems and essays about life, love, black art, black women, black power. And her two-hour discussion with James Baldwin just kind of touches on all of those things. Well, she doesn't just touch on them. They go in depth. That's why it became a book.
Yes.
She wrote a volume of poetry to Tupac Shakur, saying that she'd rather identify with thugs than the people who complained about them. Mm-hmm. She wrote a poem called All Eyes on You, Mourning Tupac's Death. She She braided her hair in support of Allen Iverson, her activist political side. She said she braided her hair because he was a star on the Georgetown team then, and he refused to cut his hair and kept it in braids.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite poems by her is called My Sister and Me. My sister and me, chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, chocolate fudge, chocolate flakes, chocolate kisses, chocolate hugs, two little chocolate girls in a chocolate rug. No one can find us. We're all alone. Two little chocolate girls running from home. Chocolate chips, chocolate bunnies, chocolate smiles from chocolate mummies, chocolate rabbits, chocolate snakes, two little chocolate girls wide awake. What an adventure. My, what fun. My sister and me, still on the run, still on the run. My sister and me, still on the run. I like that. Very playful, as a lot of her poems are, as well as a lot of her poems are very serious.
But I think, I'm sorry, Emma, go on.
I'm done.
Okay. I just, you know, there's so much of, her life was so full that it's easy to remember things, or there's so many things that I'm learning about her now. I think this is true of many of us, that in her death, as we read about her, we learn this and that. I did not know that she had written a number of children's books, but I think it's just, you know, great that she did. And, you know, that same kind of playful mood that you just mentioned would be great for children. You know, I want to pause a moment and say, is O.B. Hill there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Hey, O.B., okay. So let me stop again and say, hey, welcome, and why don't you chime in? Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, O.B., I'm just pausing. I've been, like, chatting. It's difficult for me. I think I was the first one on. It's difficult for me to know who was on and who was not. But since you are there, let me start talking and let you say a word or two or five or more.
Okay. You were talking about the children's books, and I have a couple of them here. One is Rosa. And the other one is Lincoln and Douglas. I was not aware of her children's books either, but these are great. I read these books, and I had a copy of them long ago because Gloria and I had her visit Reflections Bookstore for a book signing a long time ago. But these books are great, and the illustrations are just as important as what she's written, and they're by Brian Collier.
Oh, and he is a wonderful artist. I mean, he's an award-winning artist in his own right.
Oh, there's a caller calling in now, Patricia.
Well, then, let's get them on. Nate, can you bring through the next person? Hello?
Well, they were on, but now they're off. We'll just have to...
Whoever you were, please call back. And to those who are listening, I don't know, I think this is a test. But my response to this test is, this is a new year, it's a new time. We are not just going to survive, we are going to prevail. So we're still going to get a lot of good stuff out. Obi, did you want to read a poem from one of the books? that you brought in?
The caller is back. Caller.
Yes.
Hey, hello. This is Emmett Wheatfall, local born African American. Hello, Patricia. Hello, Obie. How are you?
Oh, just fine. How's everything going?
I couldn't miss this broadcast. Lord have mercy.
Yay. Oh, no. Welcome, welcome.
So, yeah, I wanted to pay tribute if I could. Real quick, if I could, to the great, late, great Nikki Giovanni, who's profoundly impacted me as an African-American poet. And I did pick out a poem, if so inclined to let me. I'd love to read a poem of hers and get out of you guys' way.
Don't put it that way. Please read the poem, and if you want to read two, that's okay, too.
I'll read one and leave room for others that may call.
Great. Okay.
I am inspired by her poem, Knoxville, Tennessee, by Nikki Giovanni. I always like summer best. You can eat fresh corn from Daddy's garden, okra, greens, and cabbage, and lots of barbecue and buttermilk and homemade ice cream at the church picnic. And listen to gospel music outside at the church homecoming. And you go to the mountains with your grandmother and go barefooted and be warm all the time, not only when you go to bed and sleep. Nikki Giovanni.
Yay. Thank you. Okay. So, you're the first one. You've led the way. We hope that others will come through.
I do, too. Hey, you guys have a great show. I'm listening, and have a great day. Take care. Best to Nikki.
Okay, Happy New Year, Emmett. Okay. All right, folks, the line is busy. It's open. Is there somebody else out there waiting to join us? If not, OB, do you want to read one of your poems?
I can read a passage from the book.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is from Lincoln and Douglas, An American Friendship. I was not aware that Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln had met and were friends. So this book really took me to a place that I hadn't been before. Okay. And the illustrations, as like I say, are so great. And this is dealing with a meeting after the Civil War.
Okay. And
let me get this page right now. After the incident at Harper's Ferry, both North and South recognized that the war was inevitable. The Republicans had nominated Congressman Abraham Lincoln for president. But the South knew that if Lincoln won, there could be no compromise on the issue of slavery. And in fact, Lincoln's first 4 years in office were dominated by the Civil War. Even on such a grand occasion as the inaugural reception at the White House, the grimness of the war hung over the festivities. "Here you are, Fred," said the president. "I thought I saw you a while ago." "Yes, sir, you did, but there was a misunderstanding about the door through which I was to enter. The gentleman invited my wife and me to go around to the rear door, and we declined. No matter. It has been cleared up." "I'm so sorry," said the president. "I had told my secretary to keep an eye out for you." Douglas smiled at Lincoln. "I think, sir, you did not mention that we were colored." Another caller calling in.
Yay! Okay.
Caller, are you there?
I don't know if it's me, it's my turn, or what.
It's your turn.
It's my turn? Oh, I'm sorry. This is Patricia Hurd-Hodgson, loving the conversation about one of America's greatest, not just black poet, but poet, period. And
yes.
So, I love her poetry. I grew up with her. I saw her as the revolutionary I could not be, because my mother would not have that. Anyway, one of my favorite poems that I love that Sister Nikki wrote is Nikki wrote. She won an award for. I'm not sure what exactly the award is, but it's one that I resonate with. Childhood remembrances are always a drag if you're black. You always like living in Woodlawn with no inside toilet. And if you become famous or something, they never talk about how happy you were to have your mother all to yourself and how good the water felt when you got your bath from one of the tubs that folk in Chicago barbecue in. And somehow, when you talk about home, it never gets across how much you understood their feelings as the whole family attended meetings about Hollydale. And even though you remember, your biographers never understand your father's pain as he sells his stock and another dream goes. And though you're poor, it isn't poverty that concerns you. And though they fought a lot, it isn't your father's drinking that makes any difference, but only that everybody is together and you and your sister have happy birthdays and very good Christmases. And I really hope no white person ever has cause to write about me, because they never understand black love is black wealth. And they'll probably talk about my hard childhood and never understand that all the while I was quite happy.
Yes. Thank you so much for reading that poem. The last stanza, because they never understand black love is black wealth, and they'll probably talk about my hard childhood and never understand that all the while I was quite happy. I think a lot of people would feel that way. Thank you so much. That there's a reason why that was an award-winning famous poem. We have about probably less than a little bit over 5 minutes. Thank you, Patricia. And let's see, is there anybody else, OB?
Well, actually, we only have a minute left.
Oh!
But, 2 minutes. You can't wrap up the contributions of a person like Nikki Giovanni in a half hour. It's impossible. Emma, do you have a final word you'd like to say? Oh, Emma's not there. Why don't you wind it up for us, Patricia, please?
You know something? I think you're right, OB. A half an hour isn't a lot of time, and we were kind of doing this differently. So I think we should come back again in February and do some more, because Nikki Giovanni has crossed so many generations, and I just want people to know about her. I mean, to know that there was an HBO special, Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project, that there is this fabulous, it was an LP as in vinyl, but of course you can get this on Spotify, but there's an album, Truth It's On Its Way, and it's poetry from like three of her first books, Black Feeling, Black Talk, Black Judgment, and Recreation. That album is so beautiful, to have the choir, I think it's the New York Community Choir in the background, and she's reading her poems. It's just wonderful. And we need to talk about this more, so I'm going to stop and say thank you for those of you who joined us in our first show of the year. Come back to us next month, and we can play some segments from the album and talk a little bit. I don't know if we can do anything without paying a whole bunch of money to pull up from an HBO special, but we can tell more. Thanks to those of you who called in, who attempted, and we're going to invite even more of you back next month. That's all I have to say. OB?
Well, what more can you say?
Well, I don't know, but I think there may be, if there's any time for any music, I know it was something that Emma recommended, so we can sing. Well, we can't sing, but somebody can sing us out. Thank you for joining us. See you in February.
Just briefly, What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning, we are leaning, safe and secure from.
Out of town before it's too late, my love. Get out of town, be good to me, please. Why wish me harm? Why not retire to a farm and be contented to charm the birds off the trees? Just disappear. I care for you much too much. And when you are near, close to me, dear, we touch.
You are listening to KBOO Port.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy jueves 2 de enero del 2025. Parecía que se estaba produciendo otro aumento.